Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then I, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you do also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In conservative Novus Ordo circles, that is to say those who follow the new religion but with some doctrines or some practices of the old true Catholic faith, in conservative Novus Ordo circles, of course they're all in deep mourning now because they know that their time is up. Well, they have, or they used to have, probably until the news about this evening gets out, they used to have what's called the foot wars. Because you see, in the Novus Ordo, you've lost everything. You've lost the valid priesthood and the true Mass and the sacraments. And so there isn't much left. So aside from some externals of bells and smells and vestments and things or music, well, they obsess about, in the Novus Ordo, most places nowadays have men as well as women, sort of an equal opportunity maundi that takes place at their evening Mass of the Lord's Supper. But technically speaking, according to their rubrics, it's supposed to be viri, it's supposed to be men who have their feet to be washed. One Novus Ordo priest says, well, really it should be 12 priests who get their feet washed. But actually, that's not true. First of all, the number is 13. Do you know why? Children, do you remember? We have 13 because once St. Gregory the Great, who like so many popes and bishops, would wash feet, the feet of poor men, every day and then feed them. Once he thought, well, we're just about done with this. We've got to number 12. And then all of a sudden, there was a 13th foot to be washed. And without saying a word, being a holy saint, he just washed that extra foot. And as it turned out, it was an angel. And so from then on, we always do 13 in honor of this angelic approbation of this beautiful Catholic sacramental. But over the centuries, the foot washing is done for the benefit of poor men, which is why you men will receive from me a coin, which is symbolic of an alms. Some of you getting your feet washed are actually poor. Some are fairly, if not rich, at least comfortable. And some of you, of course, are in the middle. But you are all of you poor, as are we all. As they say in Louisiana, we're just po' darlings, all of us. We are just poor, poor sinners before our Lord. So poor in merits and in good works, and so poor, too, in faith at times. It is true, of course, that originally our Lord washed the feet of his apostles. And what were they at the Last Supper? Why, then they became his priests. Our Lord washed the feet of priests the Last Supper. The priest, if you think of it, washes your feet all year long. How does he do that? And in what circumstances? He hears your confession. He listens to your tale of woe. And if you seem to be sorry with the purpose of amendment, he gives you God's, not his, but God's gracious absolution and pardon of all of your sins. Going to confession is like having your feet washed. The most hidden part of us would be our feet, wouldn't it? Because we not only have socks on, but shoes on most of the year. When you go to confession, you take your socks and shoes off, even though it's been a while, maybe, since they've been washed. And there might indeed be a little unpleasantness there. There might indeed be a bit of odor, but never mind. That's the priest's job. His job is to wash your feet. You take off your socks and shoes, and the priest washes your feet. What a beautiful and a consoling cooperation for spiritual health. For the priest, it is a great consolation to be able to hear confessions and to give absolution and to give guidance and spiritual assistance all year long. It is, however, not an easy thing to do so. There's the confessional itself, which, depending on the season, can be hot and stuffy, or can be cold and drafty, and the seat is hard and it's dark in there, and the whole atmosphere is not exactly shining with angels and light. It can be a little dark and a little heavy at times, and even depressing. The priest, you know, to absolve you of your sins, exposes his own soul to temptation sometimes. Sometimes people confess their sins in sort of an ignorant or indiscreet way. Other times people try, for some reason or another, to trick or to fool the priest in the confessional, and he has a hard time of it. They're sorting things out, especially if he feels himself under a pressure of time sometimes. It's a heavy weight, Father. All the priests of the world bear for us penitence to wash our feet for us. What could you do in turn for Father? You can wash his feet. How? Why, with your prayers and with your sacrifices. You could be like Saint Teresa, like the little flower. This is what she has to say about the subject. Jesus, she wrote to her sister Celine once, Jesus has so incomprehensible, so uncompromising a love for us that he wants to do nothing without us. He wants us to share with him in the salvation of souls. The creator of the universe waits for the prayers and devotion of a poor, there's that word again, poor little soul, in order thereby to save a number of those who, like her, were redeemed at the price of his blood. Let us live. Let us live for souls. Let us be apostles. And above all, let us save the souls of priests. These souls must be as transparent as crystal. Alas, how many bad priests there are. How many priests who are not holy enough. Let us pray. Let us suffer for them. Do you understand, Celine, she wrote, the cry of my heart? She was probably thinking about a notorious priest from her own order who had apostatized and become a modernist and had gotten married, a certain Father Hyacinth Loison. One of her novices reported later how Saint Teresa taught us that God would call us to account for the souls, for the priests, whom we could have saved by prayer and sacrifice, and did not, because we were too faithless or too cowardly. Let us not fail in a single one of our small sacrifices for them. There you have it. I want to suggest this to you today, dear faithful, this Maundy Thursday of 2013. Save the souls of priests who perhaps have dedicated their life, or at least a good part of it, to saving your soul. How could you do that? Adopt a priest. Maybe one of the fathers here, the priest who baptized you, a priest whom you met maybe just once, a priest whom you've heard about, a priest in the United States or a priest in a foreign country, one of the fallen away priests. There are two that we always ask for prayers for. Father Sear, of course, he's fallen away for many years. We must pray for him. And Father Palladino, we want prayers for him to return to the priesthood before his 25th anniversary of ordination come September. Would you accept, offer up some little, small sacrifices, but maybe something each day for the salvation of these priests? How our Lord would bless you for doing that. Adopt a priest joyfully, and adopt as well always a joyful, grateful attitude towards your priests. It's a big job getting your feet washed. I mean, your souls. And it takes the cooperation of the priest and the penitent. But how good God is. Even though he demands that we do our part, he is the one who gives the grace. Do you know what I've done for you? I've given you an example so that as I do, you should do also to each other. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.